Our guest is Senate Republican Peter Robert Dole, who, with his wife, Secretary of Labor Elizabeth Dole, recently returned from an official visit to Morocco, Soviet Armenia, Poland, and the Netherlands. Thank you, Senator Dole, for granting this interview.
Thank you.
What was the main reason of your trip at this time, and who were the members of the American delegation that you were heading?
The purpose of the trip was probably three or four fold. First in Morocco to visit with King Hassan about his efforts to bring about peace in Lebanon. How can we save that country? And we had a long visit with him, and we met with other Moroccan leaders, the finance minister and others. The primary purpose was to talk to the king about what we can do in Lebanon. In Soviet Armenia, it was to take a look and see what progress has been made since the tragic earthquake that claimed between 25 and 50,000 lives and 500,000 homeless in a country of 3.3 million. And you had 200,000 more have been driven out of Azerbaijan. It makes about 700,000 homeless in that country. In Poland, of course, we arrived during a great deal of excitement with the newly elected non-communist prime minister. And we met with local officials there. In the Netherlands, we met with the prime minister and the foreign minister. The Netherlands are very important. They're the second largest investor in the United States, and we're the biggest investor in the Netherlands. So all in all, it was a trip that we made, in effect, at the request of the president, myself, my wife, who's Secretary of Labor. There are no other members on this delegation. And we reported to the president. We returned. We went to Kennebunkport, Maine. Made our report to the president this past Monday.
On your arrival in Armenia, you led a greet at the Armenian Martyrs Monument, and you met with Armenian officials. May I ask, what were the subjects of your discussions?
Well, the primary topic was the earthquake and the homeless and what we might do, both private the Armenian people. We've raised in excess of $135 million from private funds in America to help earthquake victims. We've only, expended about $4 million of government sources, and those primarily transporting supplies and doing other things. And of course, there are certain restraints we have in dealing with the communist government. But in any event, the primary purpose was to take a look. Progress been made. We landed in Yerevan. We visited Lenenikon and Spitak. We talked to a lot of real people who had been through the earthquake. We visited the school site in Spitak, where 400 children lost their lives in a matter of seconds as a result of the earthquake. We watched new construction in every place, but it's slow. Winter's coming. And there are going to be a lot of people without homes in this part of the world.
As you say, the winter is coming. Do you think enough is being done to provide proper shelter for the homeless?
Well, obviously, as we talked with the prime minister and the foreign minister in Soviet Armenia, they acknowledge there are going to be people without homes this winter. So the answer is probably not. There is a lot being done. Many countries are making contributions. We visited the Austrian village where 100 new homes are going to be available in the next 30 days. There are Americans who are in Armenia preparing to build homes, and a number of countries are building homes. In Lenenikon, for example, they're building sort of a whole new city. We visited a site of which will ultimately be 50,000 new homes. That's going to be several months away. So the answer is that there are going to be a lot of people suffering because of no place to go when it's cold.
According to newspapers and other accounts, there are many workers from other Soviet republics, while thousands of Armenians who have fled from neighboring Azerbaijan are unemployed. Is that true?
That's true. In fact, we witnessed some of these. Didn't talk to anybody who fled from Azerbaijan, but we know the number is estimated at 200,000. And again, you're talking about 500,000 homeless in the earthquake, 200,000 who fled That's 700,000 people in a country of 3.3 million. I mean, the economy is strained in any event, and it makes it almost unbearable. So there's a lot of unemployment.
I understand that the plane carrying you and Mrs. Dole carried also $50,000 worth of relief and rehabilitation supplies for Project Hope, which with America and other American benevolent organization has been very generous and kind to the victims of the earthquake.
That's true. In fact, we were very pleased to be able to deliver about $50,000 worth of needed supplies for Project Hope. They're doing an outstanding job. They have 9 people in Soviet Armenia. We also met with AmeriCares. They've been doing an outstanding job, as a number of other individuals, not just in the United States, but from Canada, from Lebanon, from all around the world. We met with physical therapists, occupational therapists, doctors, makers of prosthetic devices, and we've asked them to work with the Prime Minister's office in setting forth what they believe to be the priorities. One thing that we learned in Armenia is there are a lot of freelancing, a lot of things are being done that may not be of the highest priority. The first thing they need is a place, a shelter, a home. And we would like to encourage people to direct their resources toward housing. But in any event, I met with the Americans and others who are working there on an individual basis. The Armenian Assembly, for example, had people present. And we asked them to sit down at the earliest possible time and work out a list of priorities and send that list to me so that we can start looking at ways we can help both in the private sector and the public sector.
On the whole, what was your impression? Enough is being done, or?
Well, it's hard to judge. I mean, it's easy to say, well, they haven't completed everything. But if you understand the massive, the enormity of the tragedy, numbers, scores of villages were damaged. Some were devastated, like Spitak was leveled. We stopped at another little village, I don't remember the name of it, but sort of the epicenter of the earthquake. There wasn't anything left there at all. There were 740 people living there prior to the earthquake. There were 8,000 new graves in Lenenikon. So everywhere you want to travel, you saw one tragic event after another. So is enough being done? Well, I would guess I'd have to say no, because people haven't been taken care of, but a lot is being done. And we didn't go there to find fault with the Soviet Union or the leaders in the Soviet Armenia. We went there to see if more could be done and if it could be done by our government. We do believe that there ought to be better coordination. I think everybody agrees that there's too much, sort of freelancing going on, not enough coordinated effort.
While in Armenia, you and Mrs. Dole were received by His Holiness Vatican I, Catholicos of all Armenians,
Yes, and that was a very, very inspirational and impressive visit. We spent about 50 minutes there. We toured the Manoukian Museum, which was built as a result of a $1 million gift from the Manoukians in Detroit, Michigan. We had a very good visit. We visited a church, probably one of the oldest churches in the world, and of course, Armenia being one of the first Christian nations in the world. So it was a very impressive to us. I must say, Catholicos is in good health at 82, and he feels that notwithstanding the devastation, that Armenia will survive and the people will recover.
Senator Dole, you have been involved in Armenian issues for many years and have credited the late Dr. Hambar Kilikyan with saving your life. If I'm not mistaken, you still keep in touch with his family.
I talked with his wife, Mrs. Kalikian, as recently as yesterday, to tell her about the trip, to tell her I'd lighted a candle at the church for Dr. Kalikian. And it has been a long-standing relationship going way back to World War II. Dr. Kalikian, I think, performed 7 or 8 operations on me, would never let me pay him. So I felt, for a number of reasons, that I needed to go to Armenia as a senator, but also as an individual. And as I said to many of the leaders when I was in need of help, Dr. Kalikian helped me, now it was my turn.
As you said, you have already reported to President Bush.
Yes.
I understand he had asked you specially to report to him about Armenia and Poland. What was the whole reaction?
I reported the president, first of all, that everywhere we travel, myself and my wife and people we talk to, were most appreciative of the fact that Jeb Bush, the president's son, had been there just almost immediately after the earthquake, along with a grandson, and that was very much appreciated by the people of Armenia and by the leadership. And I indicated to him that I would be giving him a special report on Armenia. I felt there were additional things we might do as a government, although we do have restraints, we'll have to work maybe through private agencies. He said he would look forward to receiving that report. He has a number of friends who've been very helpful. AmeriCares, Mr. McCauley is a personal friend of the president's, and he's been most helpful. We were greeted when we arrived by one of the Hovnanian brothers from New Jersey, called Harry here. You'd know his Armenian first name. They're in the process of working on a number of, may build 2,000 or 3,000 homes before they are finished. So I reported all this to the president, and we told him we'd also give him a report in writing and let him know what we believe the priorities are.
In Poland, Senator, besides your meetings with Cardinal Gell, the Prime Minister, and other officials, you and your wife, U.S. Labor Secretary, met also with Solidarity leader Lech Wałęsa and wrote a letter for President Bush. What are your impressions of developments that have unfolded there?
Well, it's mind-boggling. I mean, we arrived the day that Mazowiecki was elected Prime Minister, and that afternoon we attended a Solidarity Caucus. We were special guests of the Solidarity Caucus. I said a few words to the group, but you sort of had a feeling when you were sitting there observing this caucus that it must have been much like the early days of our government, because very few Solidarity members who are now in the Parliament have had any legislative experience, I think only three. And here they were openly and publicly just talking about budget deficits and how to deal with some of the problems in Poland. So our impression was that the whole world is watching Poland. And even in Armenia, people were saying, in fact, the Katolikos told us that, I reminded him how the church was so important in Poland. He said, well, the church is important in Armenia. We may follow their footsteps. So there's all kinds of hope. People who want freedom are looking to Poland as sort of the model and the example. But I must say, in addition to all the reasons for celebration, they've got some tough choices ahead on the economy, on food, on prices. It's not going to be easy. And those who, like Lech Wałęsa and the new prime minister and even the president, Jaroslaw Zelski, I think must work together, and they know they've got a tough road to hoe.
The letter of Lech Wałęsa asking for help, American help?
I think I can't reveal the contents because the president chose not to do that, but I think I can say, characterize it, said yes, it was a request for help. And we're willing to help. I don't want to leave the impression we're not willing. The president's already outlined a program of $119 million plus an additional $50 million in food aid. I think as I talked with different leaders again in Solidarity, including the president, they want something quickly. They need to see some momentum. They need to see a change. I think that's the message we brought back.
You said you met with King Hassan in Morocco, and do you think the commission that Arab League has established, and he's a member, if
right.
I'm not mistaken, do you think they'll be able to do something to bring peace in Lebanon?
Well, they haven't given up. You know, there'd been some talk about, I guess it's referred to as the higher committee, the king of Saudi Arabia and King Hassan and the leader, the king in Algeria. But they haven't given up, and they indicated they had not done that. I think it's fair to say that it's a belief of some that until the United States gets involved and the Soviet Union becomes involved, that we're not going to have any solution in Lebanon. And there's some indication as we speak that that's happening. The king approach was, you know, and others we met with, how do we save this country? How do we save Lebanon? And he's still optimistic, though I must say it's a very difficult and delicate situation.
Are you and Mrs. Dole planning similar trips in the near future? And what are your future plans concerning Armenia and Armenians?
My future plan, I've already started in Armenia. I talked to State Representative Chuck Haitayan yesterday in New Jersey, who's very prominent in politics there, and who's also very prominent in Armenian activities. We hope to continue to be of help by attending various functions, fundraising functions by Armenians to raise money for those in Soviet Armenia. I've indicated to the president and to others that we want to pursue what else might be done on an individual basis, how we can be helpful. I've talked to Governor Duke Majan of California, who hopes to visit Armenia soon. In addition, we're going to be looking for ways sort of government-to-government help, what we can do, if we can find ways to help that aren't costly, because we have a budget problem. Every time we turn around, we have to remind people that we have problems too. But we have not done very much in Armenia. As a government, we think we can do much more.
Would you like to say a few words about any subject that we didn't cover?
Well, I think primarily, whether it's either Armenia or the Soviet or Poland, there's a change taking place, no question about it. I mean, I think people expectations are higher. Under Gorbachev, there is more freedom. People feel very comfortable with most of the Gorbachev policies. The Gorbachev policies tolerate a number of things the Soviets haven't been able to do. But I also think there is a growing nationalistic spirit, not just in Poland, Armenia, but in the Baltic states. And we were told about many of these things everywhere we stop. So I'm hopeful that the Polish example and the Hungarian example and what's happening in the Baltic states may be the trend of the future, more freedom for the people.
May I ask your future plans, Senator?
My future plans, hopefully, continue the leadership in the United States Senate. And speaking, I guess, politically, hopefully, pick up enough seats to become the majority leader in the United States Senate. But public service is something I enjoy, and I want to continue that.
Thank you, Senator Dole, for this interview and the time you allocated to the Voice of America.
Thank you.
We're talking to Senate Republican leader Robert Dole, Lady Tramvian, Voice of America.
Keep on going, if you don't mind. I have 5 minutes here, right? May I coalesce two questions into one, both of which are economic. The
sure.
First one has to do, I thought perhaps this might have come up during your discussions with Armenian leaders, and that is the idea of creating a free economic zone in Armenia in order to help out with the problems with the earthquake. Agandiyan recently gave an interview in which he expressed some kind of hope that international cooperation would be possible. Did you discuss the plan?
We didn't discuss anything about a free economic zone. You know, we talked about next year being the 75th anniversary of genocide, and they were very hopeful that Congress would pass a resolution, in effect condemning the Ottoman Empire, not the Turkish Republic, but the Ottoman Empire, for that, for the genocide. We talked about other problems in Armenia, but we didn't discuss what you mentioned.
Well, that might be an interesting...
It might be a way to avoid some of the restraints we have.
Yes, well, we're talking about tax benefits, of course, and perhaps even temporarily a different currency. A number of ideas have been batted around, but you will certainly hear about them if they really get moving with it, I'm sure. Also, with regard to Poland, several plans have been proposed, among the George Soros plan, and then there's this, what's his name, Jeffrey Sachs of Harvard.
We listened to Jeffrey as Dr. Sachs. He spoke at length, as I recall, about 50 minutes. And I must say that I think he made an excellent speech, but it's like everything else, it's easy to give speeches and hard to get things done sometimes. And he had a recipe for how they restructure their debt. He explained that they've got to stop inflation. They're getting near what he called hyperinflation. They've got to watch interest rates. They've got to deal with a deficit, and they've got to be responsible, and they've got to have help from outside. But it was a very good presentation by Dr. Sachs, and he has been consulting Solidarity for some time. But it's like everything else. It's I think, but and he understands it's not going to be easy. And I must say, the Polish, the leadership we talked with in Poland understand it's their responsibility first. There's not enough aid in the world. They don't want to become an international welfare client. They want investment. Let's tell you, all we need are banks. We've got $5 billion hidden under mattresses in Poland. People have put in these banks, $5 to $10 billion. And what they want are opportunities. They want American companies to invest. Well, American companies will invest as soon as we have stability in Poland and as soon as they see a stable government and opportunities. We're not going to invest if you're going to lose money. So I think there are a number of plans on debt restructuring. They're going to have to go to the International Monetary Fund. They're going to have to make certain economic reforms before they're given any assistance. The big thing now is to get all the countries to sort of roll over the debts and won't have to pay the interest, and also get some of the private banks to do the same.
Well, Mr. Sachs's plan is very drastic. I mean, I think he was quoted as saying is that if you're going to cut off a cat's tail, you better cut it off.
That's right. I heard it. I was there.
Do you think it's practicable, overhead?
I think he wanted to lay out what they needed to do. He talked about eliminating subsidies. Well, my comment was we haven't done that in the United States. We talk about eliminating farm subsidies, for example. It's not going to happen in one fell swoop. Politically, it can happen. I mean, you've got to have some political base. You have to be realistic. So I think many of the statements made in his address probably aren't going to happen, but that doesn't mean they shouldn't be said. I think he made a good presentation. I guess he had mixed reviews from those who were in attendance. But again, making a speech is much easier than putting the legislation together and getting enough votes and then trying to implement it without losing your constituency.
Where was this speech precisely?
It was, where Solidarity, same place that President Bush spoke. I don't remember the name of the building. But it was given to a Solidarity caucus, and it was a packed room, about 300 people. And we were privileged, I think, myself and my wife, to be invited to attend, and they asked me to say a few words to the caucus. And my advice was, if you're going to do something, do it early. Do it while you have the popular support of the people. Don't wait 6 months or a month or a year, because then it's going to be more difficult to do. Right now, the Polish people expect things to happen. They know they need economic reform. And I'll give you a good example. There were 21 of us went to lunch in Gdansk. We had a four-course lunch. The bill was $42. I mean, it's crazy. We asked Walentz about it. He said, it's scandalous. And he said, I make $10 a month. Well, the inflation is going up at almost reaching 300% a month or something of that figures. What Sachs called hyperinflation. So they need to act very quickly. First, they got to put their government together. They don't have a cabinet chosen. They're trying to decide who gets how many posts, how many the Peasant Party gets, the Democratic Party, the Communist Party in solidarity. So it's exciting, though, and interesting.
May I ask just one postscript? You had one stop on your itinerary originally, which you subsequently removed.
The Queen?
Yes, Riga. Could you explain why this was necessary? And secondly, do you regret it?
Well, we very much.
Gone.
Oh yeah, we very much wanted to go, but we had an option of seeing President Bush. And it seemed to me that if we were going to come back from particularly Armenia and Poland and relay to the president, we had action was urgent. We better do it as quickly as possible. So I checked with the White House Chief of Staff, John Sununu, on Sunday, and learned we could see the president Monday afternoon, and so we said, let's go. We felt that was more important. We meant no disrespect to the Queen, and hopefully she'll understand, although I must say she's probably happy not to have to meet everybody who rolls through The Hague. But our view was it was more important to come back and see President Bush and try to point up the urgency in acting both in Poland and in Soviet Armenia.
Do you think that the Baltic situation right now is presenting a tough problem for U.S. policy, how to react?
Probably is, but it's a tougher policy for Gorbachev, how to react. We want freedom to break out everywhere. I mean, our policy, and we understand that there has to be some restraint. We don't want Gorbachev feeling that we're pushing these people into action. But if action takes place, then I think we have to be honest about it and say we right on. That's what we want. We want freedom for people around the world.
Well, thank you for answering that question. It took us 4 minutes over our deadline.
In great shape. Thank you. Oh, we started late.
Thank you so much.